This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. I'm Pharrell, along with Mafia, and the legendary Mad Hatter is back on the bench in for Carver High, who's off gallivanting again. It's the best time of the year on PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's F as in football, E-R-R-A-L-L, PharrellOnTheBench.com. My hockey and pro hoop playoff picks are the best. I'm killing everyone at picking winners. I slaughter everyone. I pick the most winners. That's it. Boom. Baseball snags. Are you kidding? It's so easy for me to make you money in baseball. It's ridiculous. I'll make you more in one night than everyone else will in a month. Daily fantasy, MMA, boxing. I give it all to you on PharrellOnTheBench.com. I'm like, God, sign up today. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Brett in Boston on the hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell.
What's up, buddy?
Nah, man. I'm a little disappointed. The fact that you're kind of giving us a little discredit. And the fact that the Celtics are under acknowledged with all the injuries they've had, they're playing with role players right now. They've won the best lockdown defenders in the league. Marcus Smart, who's going to come back, correct?
I mean, that's true. I won't deny. I love Smart's game. Is it me, Mafia, or Mad Hatter, or is it just something in the air? Because I have sat here all night long and told you 5 million reasons why I like the Celtics, and then I've told you I don't like their matchup if they play Philly. And you guys can't accept that fact because you can't ever listen to anybody tell you that your team's not going to win at all. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed? I'm asking you, Brett. Have you ever noticed, like, no matter who you guys play, every single game, every goddamn game, you're going to win them all. You guys never lose. So it's like talking. It's like beating my head against the wall trying to talk to you people. It really is.
No. You know what? I'm realistic. I'm a Celtics fan through and through.
But do you really believe they can win the NBA championship with that crappy team they're putting out there right now?
No. All right. Simmer down. We're not crappy. We're not going to win it. We're not saying we're going to win it. But give us a chance past Philly. Please.
Yeah, I just can't do that. I mean, I have to give them a chance. I think that they should win this series because they're killing Milwaukee. But I'm not giving them anything past that right now. I've said 5 million times, I think Stevens has done a hell of a job. He's a great coach. And with what he has to work with, I mean, he'll manipulate a game like no other. I think the guy's fantastic. In fact, I wish he was playing because he's such a genius as a coach. But I really don't like their lineup. As it goes deeper into the playoffs, I think eventually this lineup is going to catch up with them.
I agree with you.
I mean, I just think at some point, whether it's not right now, because the Bucks suck. So they should be winning those games in Boston at the Garden against the Bucks, even against the Freak. They handled their business. That's not a shock to any of you or me. I want to see when the games get bigger and the stage is bigger and the stakes are bigger, if that patchwork, you know, that's the bottom line. That's what it is, a patchwork team they're putting out there. They've had all the injuries in the world. So they're out there playing with all these guys. I've gone up and down the list with you guys. Like, I'm not going to – sit here and get, you know, if I'm like Toronto right now, frankly, this is just me like guessing, and Philly, I've already told you about their lineup, but I mean, I think, you know, I'm not going to disrespect what Brown is doing or Rozier. Rozier's played great for Kyrie. He's played his face off. I'll give you that. And I think Larkin's giving him good minutes. That's fine. But there's no way I'm taking those two guards over Lowry and DeRozan. And even I have a problem with them against Cleveland, even. And I got a problem with them against Philly. So, you know, with Horford, Tatum, Baines, Rozier, Brown, and then they play Morris and Monroe and Larkin. That's it, right? That's all they play. So, I'm sorry. I don't like that matchup against Philly's lineup right now. That's just me today. Now, if I go to the window the day of the game and I like the spread and I like the way the numbers look, I certainly think they're a very hard team to beat in Boston. I won't deny that, but you play that team in Philly, I think you're going to have your hands full. 855-212-4227. Ronald in Baltimore, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm on. Pharrell, I just want to say you're hilarious, dude. I work overnight. I hate it. You and Amy Lawrence are, like, the only reason why I even stay up half the time at work. But Bellinelli, man, you said Bellinelli would go off last week, and he did. I'm sitting there watching the Philly game, and they're hitting all these three-pointers. I'm just like, this is crazy. But I want to know this, right? Do you believe that our Wizards will come back from the 2-0 deficit? Because I, quite frankly, I'm not a believer in Toronto, and I've seen what they can do. And while, like, Toronto, they drafted a couple of guys last year, which helped them out on the bench. But just like those guys play really good in Toronto, when they come back in Washington, our guys like Mahini and Oubre and Santoraski and those guys who really showed up for John Wall while he was out, those guys will step up, I believe. But I want to know if you think that the Wizards will at least take it to 6 or 7 games. Or do you think the series is over?
I don't know about over. My guess would be that tomorrow night they'll, you know, show up in a big way because they have to. It's desperation game for them. You can't go down 3 like, you know, Portland did tonight. They're finished. Like San Antonio did tonight. They're finished. The Wizards have to win tomorrow night. I think they can win at home because I think Wall and Beal will go off in that game. Porter and Oubre, they'll all play much better at the Verizon. There's no doubt. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they suck, and that's just all there is to it. I mean, they're barely a over 500 team. They're lucky they're even in it, and I'm just being honest. And Toronto's just so loaded. I mean, they're like a 60-win team. So, I mean, they've proven how good they were all year. This is not about last year or 5 years ago or the last 10 years. Or this isn't even a playoff, a rap sheet resume builder. Where you're trying to sell me that the Raptors have ever done anything, because they've never done anything. All they ever do is lose. They're like the Capitals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Toronto Raptors in the NBA playoffs, always a train wreck. But the facts remain, you have to base this on simple, what's going on right now in front of you. I mean, this is who they are. This is what they've done all year. This is their record. This is how they are health-wise. And then how are they playing in the first two games? Well, in those two games in Toronto, they slaughtered them. They just slaughtered them. So I think they're a much better basketball team, flat out, than Washington. But do I think that Washington can steal one tomorrow? They better. I'll tell you that much. I don't know if they will, but they better. If they know what's good for them. They lose the game, it's over. I already think it's over, but they still have to play games. So at some point or another, Toronto's winning that series, right? First of all, Washington didn't even sniff a win up there, right? So they have to go back and play them again. And if there's a game 7 there, they're not winning that either. I don't even think it gets to that point, but I could certainly be wrong. Just, you know, here's what I know. Just what you think that everything's figured out in the NBA, every single series will end up being 7 games, right? Even the ones that are 3-0. right? Because just when you think you got it all figured out in the NBA, the next thing you know, you blink your eye and turn around, and every game's game seven. So, and then all of a sudden, they have three straight overtime games, and the team wins, and it's game seven all of a sudden. I mean, they want this to be unpredictable, and to have you have no idea what you're talking about every day, and you have no clue every day who's going to win a game. But it's like today, I bet on Philly. I laid 1.5. I took them on the road in Miami, and they kicked ass and took names. I also bet on the Pelicans and laid it. I also took the Warriors on the road and laid it, and I won all three. So, I mean, it is what it is. I picked them all three to win, and I hit all three spreads. So, there you go. I think they're just better teams, flat out. Here we go. KD in Michigan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you living?
Hey, KD.
Hey, check it out, man. Big props on the interview with Myers, Zach Myers, and Memphis. You ain't been to Memphis, man. You need to get there. You know what it's all about, it, without being said. And definitely Shine Down, one of my favorite bands. Excellent interview. My other one was with The Perfect Circle coming out with their Eat the Elephant. Just read Manners' book. You got any stories with MJ? Okay.
I don't, Mafia. Do you know what he's talking about?
He's talking about Maynard James Keenan, the lead singer of Perfect Circle and of Tool. I don't have any stories with him. I've always loved their music, although, you know, all you ever hear about is how Tool never comes out with an album forever. But, you know, they put out great stuff when they do.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him, but that's the first time I met Zach. He was really cool. I would have loved to have talked to him a little bit longer about the tour and about how they do it every night, like how they do, like every other night. They do a show, right? And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, how in God's name can you perform this many shows live for 2 hours or whatever they go out there for? What do they play, 90 minutes, 2 hours, sometimes longer? I don't know. I don't know how long Shinedown's sets are, but let's just say they're 2 hours. And you do that every other night. They do it every other night, literally. I have the schedule in front of me. I mean, literally, they're playing every other night until August, right now. I mean, May, June, July, August. For the next 4 months, whatever it is, they're playing every other night. I mean, they literally, I don't even know how they do it. You think these, you know, like hockey teams play 3-4 times a week, NBA 3-4 times a week, baseball 7 days a week, right? And you think, man, how do they do it? Well, there's no difference, in my opinion, to be honest with you, than a rock band getting up on stage for 2 hours with bright lights on them and sweating their faces off and bodies and shredding for 2 hours and being soaking wet. And you have to be in great, you know, shape physically and mentally to, I think, perform like that every single night and to put on a show and then to give people their money's worth. You can't just go wing it. If you're a great band, you have to perform like it, right? Like, you have to perform at a high level. Otherwise, people won't come out and see you, and otherwise people won't buy your music. It's simple. You have to be kick-ass every night. You can't go give a half-ass effort when you do a show. So I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's just a crazy schedule. Plus, they have to travel, right? They go from town to town to town to town to town to town to town, and they set up, break down, do a pre-cut, you know, warm-up, all this other stuff, and then they go perform for 2 hours and do their thing, soaking wet, screaming, yelling, people throwing bras at them and everything else. I mean, it's crazy. I don't even know how they do it. If I had more time, I would have asked him that. But I know that's where they make all their money. So that would have been fascinating to ask him about, but I ran out of time. But he seemed like a really cool dude. Zach Myers was great from Shinedown tonight on the bench.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
The NFL announced the London campaign that they'll have next year where they have all these games in London. The games will be Titans and Chargers, Eagles and Jaguars, and Seahawks and Raiders. Those are the teams that have the misfortune of having to go to London and play. That's exactly what it is.
So Jacksonville lose one of the best home games, and you're going to make Seattle and Oakland not just fly across the country, but then fly across the Atlantic.
Well, Jacksonville always plays in London.
Right, they play one game every year, but the game you had to put there was the one against the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what are you going to do? Dwight Freeney will sign a one-day contract to retire as a Colt after 13 years in the league. Nick Saban, Serena Williams make Fortune's list of the world's 50 greatest leaders. The 50 greatest leaders ever. Nick Saban, one of the greatest leaders in the world. There you go.
Why is Serena one of the greatest leaders?
I don't know.
She's a great player, a great athlete, but who does she lead?
I don't know. I guess she leads women's tennis. She leads her business ventures, I guess. It noted that the college football head coach Saban, who's won 5 national championships in the past 9 years with Alabama, 6 overall in his career, tying him with Bear Bryant. He has a long way to go in the all-time wins category, blah, 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 blah. Do you think he's one of the most powerful leaders in the world? Nick Saban.
In all sports, yeah.
Maybe sports. If you think Jalen Hurts is just giving up on Bama, you don't know him. So what's the deal, Mafia? The kid wants to transfer if he's not going to start?
That's basically what they were saying. I think it might have been his dad that came out and said that, but then Saban came out tonight and said that he had a good talk with them and everything's cool. I don't know exactly what that means, but that they're on the same page.
He's got 2 years of eligibility. How many schools would be licking their chops to get their hands on him? Jalen Hurts. Do you remember, though, in the national championship game when the other kid came in and took his job? Wally pipped him?
Yeah, Tua just ripped it up.
Yeah, that dude Tua. Tagovailoa, is that his name, I think? Where do you think Jalen Hurts would go play football?
I don't know, because the way he's talking, they're going to try to do the battle first. But if Saban doesn't decide that the QB battle until, you know, camp in August, like, maybe you can't transfer anywhere and play then you got to sit out.
Maybe he could go to Michigan and they'd finally have a quarterback.
That would be nice.
I'll never forget that guy O'Korn's pass. In the Ohio State game, it was the worst pass I've ever seen in a football game at any level, including Pop Warner. I've seen better passes in a Pop Warner football game. Do you think he'd look good in maize and blue?
He would. Yeah, I'm sure Jim Harbaugh would love to get his hands on him. I mean, that's been the biggest problem in his tenure there in Michigan. He doesn't have a quarterback, right?
Alabama and Notre Dame work out a series in 28-29. Let's see. What is it? 2018?
So 10 years from now.
So 10 years from now, I'll be 62.
Hey, you know what? We'll play you in a decade. Yeah, that sounds great.
Do you think I'll be doing this in 10 years?
Yes. Will Nick Saban be doing this in 10 years?
No.
So he basically, you know, would probably retire to set the series up. Like, yeah, when I'm done and I don't care about this team anymore, yeah, you can play him.
Do you think I'll be playing for the Celtics in 5 years?
They're over 60 team, maybe.
Do they have an over 60 team? So they're going to play a home and home series. Notre Dame will host the Crimson Tide on September 2nd of 2028, and Alabama will return the favor a year later on September 1st. So they'll get a play at home the following year.
I love that not only have they figured out that we're going to play you in 10 years, but they've actually figured out the exact date they're going to play in 10 and 11 years from now.
Right. Of course. Many draft trade experts believe the Colts will move down again and give up that number 6 overall pick and move down in the draft. The Bills and Cardinals are potential trade partners for the Colts. Should a quality quarterback slide to number 6?
Not going to happen.
I actually can't wait till the draft is over so that I don't have to talk about this anymore.
We get next year's mock draft then.
I mean to tell you, it is the most overblown thing I've ever seen in my life. It really is.
Let's put out 30 guesses of how the draft is going to go, and none of them are going
to
be right.
Yeah, let's listen to these geniuses give their mock draft predictions, and they have 3 players out of the entire draft they get right. At best.
Are they even going to have that this year? Because no one knows who the Browns are doing at number 1.
How about the guy that cried about not getting the Monday Night Football gig? The guy, what's his name, Mayock? How about that guy? Like, really? Do you really go on record complaining about why you're better than everyone else and you should have gotten the job? Is that basically what he said?
Pretty much.
In not so many words, he just doesn't understand why he's not doing it and that they keep giving all these jobs to former players. He said it's, you know, didn't he, in not so many words, that's not a quote, but that's basically what
right,
he said.
You got to have come off the field in order to get into that booth nowadays. I mean, that's the way it's been for a while, though. I mean, most of, if not all of the major analyst gigs for the NFL are all former players, right?
So earlier I told you that Nick Saban is one of the most influential leaders in the world. Now I'm going to tell you that J.J. Watt and Kevin Durant are among athletes recognized on Time's 100 Most Influential People, this being different than the list of great leaders. These are just influential people.
Well, of course, J.J.'s going to be on that list after all the fundraising he did for Houston last year. Not sure about KD, though. I mean, he's important, he's popular, but is he that influential?
I don't know. Why is he influential? In terms of, I'd really like to know what that's about. Oh, he was recognized by Apple executive Eddie Q after the Warriors star committed $10 million to provide children with higher education through the College Track program. So apparently, he put his money where his mouth is. If you spend millions on others to help others, you too can be on the lists of influential people and powerful people, and also you could be recognized as one of the great leaders of the world.
I gave a dollar to March of Dimes at Kmart the other day. Does that work?
So how about, why do you think Serena was on there? Because didn't she have, like...
She had a baby and she was out for
but
a while.
But wasn't she, though, didn't she have, like, postpartum and everything? She had, like, she was depressed or whatever after she had the kid?
I believe so, which a lot of women have happened.
Maybe that's why she's a world leader, because she got over that and she's back to slamming tennis balls down people's throats.
Maybe.
Maybe she's an influential leader because she hits harder than men. She does.
She does for sure. She could beat most of the men on tour, probably.
Yeah. Maybe because she's
they ain't doing any battle of the sexes when she's around, are they?
She could probably beat her husband's ass.
Well, yeah, her husband's not even an athlete, I don't think. I think he's like a designer or something.
He's like a wussy compared to her. She'll beat his ass. She can serve like 100-some miles an hour, right? She's incredible. Can't wait for the tennis season, really, to pick up steam. I got to tell you, I am... No! Can you imagine playing me in tennis and I got to make those noises? I'd be thrown out of those matches.
I play you with basketball and you make those noises. Who are you kidding?
I get thrown out of everything. Basketball.
Someone's within like 3 feet of you and you're shooting. Ah!
And one, Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice. Or Chauncey.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So on Thanksgiving Day, it's always very important that we watch football all day. The Bears play the Lions at 12:30 on CBS. Then the Redskins at Cowboys, 4:30 on Fox. And then at nighttime, Falcons Saints on NBC. That won't be bad. So they always predict who's going to win, right? What your people look at their schedule and they're like, they think that they can pick the records of the teams. I noticed a story here where they actually predict all the teams what they're going to do. Here it says the Steelers will be 11-5 because they have an easy schedule. They play all of their divisional opponents in the first 9 weeks. So they're saying that after they get through that, it's a piece of cake. Just when you think it's a piece of cake, they'll have a nightmare from week 10 till the end of the season. It says here, the Packers are going 12-4. The Vikings are going 13-3, which means they'll win the division. See Dwayne Wade getting a fight tonight? How funny is that? Who's that guy he fought with? I don't even know who that is. Who's that dude number one for Philly? Who is that? Who's the guy Wade fought with tonight?
I believe it was Amir Johnson.
Nah.
No, maybe not.
It's not Amir Johnson. I know who Amir Johnson is.
I'm sorry. No, it was Justin Anderson it was.
Justin Anderson is the guy?
Justin Anderson is the guy that he grabbed his arm and yanked him into the crowd.
Yeah. I want to see what happened here. Oh, they went at it. And then Wade threw him into the crowd. And then they went at it. And you're not doing that in Wade County. You're not getting away with that in Wade County, son. D. Wade's not having any of it. But he didn't do anything tonight. It says here, the let's see, your Jets, the Bills are going to be 7-9, it says here, from the playoffs to 7-9. Patriots, 11-5. Your Jets, 6-10, Mafia. Are you having any of that?
It all depends on who they take and how they develop this year. I mean, it's so hard to predict right now before the draft has even occurred what these teams are going to be. You don't know what they're plugged in, you know, what guys are going to get. Because a team like the Bills, teams like the Jets, teams like the Giants who all need, you know, I mean, they have Eli for the Giants, but all these other teams that need quarterbacks, and quarterbacks that they're probably going to start, you don't know what they're going
to be. It says here the Eagles will go 12-4. That's not bad after winning the Super Bowl. And then, let's see, we have the Chargers at 10-6. How about John Gruden? Here's the prediction for his first season, 5-11 with the Raiders.
Ooh, that's brutal.
And then the Rams are going to go 13-3, it says here. The Niners will go 9-7, and the Seahawks 6-10. And then in the AFC South, they got the Jaguars at 10-6 and the Titans also at 10-6. NFC South, Falcons 11-5, Saints 10-6, Bucks 7-9. There you go. All of the guaranteed records of all the teams based on their schedule. It's just automatic that all of these things will come true. Can you believe people sit around and do this and actually, you know, predict these things? In the Steelers division, they're the only team with a winning record, it says here. The rest of them all stink. Zach in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, how you doing, sir? Thank you for having me, and
yeah,
first-time caller.
Sure.
I just wanted to talk on the Patriots and what you were saying about the Boston fans. Now, with the division they play in, no disrespect to Mafia, but they're in the AFC East, and the AFC East has been pretty much pitiful besides the Patriots for God knows how long now. And that's an automatic 6 wins from out of a season. I also want to touch up on another point as well. You mentioned that Anthony Davis is a stud and you're going for the Pelicans, and I totally agree. That's a young and up-and-coming team, and he's a great player. But do you fear if he gets injured, what will happen then?
Well, obviously, if they lose AD and they have Boogie Cousins out, they're finished.
Okay.
Simple as that. They're finished.
Well, how about the AFC East with the Patriots? I mean,
I don't agree that it's automatic 6 wins. I think it's more like 4 or 5. You know, usually they always have problems at least once with Miami. And, I mean, I won't deny the division's theirs. It's terrible. They win it. It seems like for, you know, the average fan, I think that if you thought about it, you'd be like, they win it every year. They literally win it every single year. But, you know, that hasn't been the case. They've had – the Jets have done it a couple times. I won't deny that they're the best team in the division, though, right now. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They win all those games, so – they usually screw up down in Miami once, right? And then they lay an egg there usually. But other than that, they own the division. They seem to anyway. They handle the Bills and the Jets without too much of a problem. They've always seemed to have that one problem with Miami down there.
Well, I mean, with Miami, you know, they no longer have, Jarvis Landry. Ajayi, he went to Philadelphia. I really don't see Miami.
I would think that you're right, that it's automatic. You know, it pretty much what it seems like to me, Zach, is I don't think they'll ever lose another game. Ever. In their history. I mean, every game is just so automatic, and it's just so obvious that they just can't lose ever. So, I mean, it's just not even worth talking about anymore. At some point, you just have to realize that the Patriots – are never going to lose a game ever again, and that every game that they have on paper is it's just lock, stock, and barrel. It's a done deal. So what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start betting everything I have every week on the Patriots to cover, and I'm going to see if that I can just make an absolute shack load of money and then quit working. so that I can just sit back and grow weed.
There's step one of what we're waiting for. We knew it was coming, so we got that the Patriots are going undefeated in the division. Now we just need step two of the guy calling to say they're going undefeated on the season.
Oh, yeah. It's just automatic. I mean, it's just automatic. It's like, see the schedule, they look at it, they're like, oh, these games are just, it's just automatic. There's no way. There's no way they can't win that game. That game's automatic. I mean, those are done deal games. I mean, they're just, it looks to me like, let's see. Yeah, I mean, they're undefeated easy. I mean, it's just undefeated season. It's in the bag. It's a done deal. Gerald in Houston.
Hello, Pharrell. How are you doing?
How you been, my man?
I've been doing very well.
Good.
I listen to you in the evening quite a bit. I just don't call.
My man.
The reason why I called this evening is two things. We have high expectations this year with Deshaun Watson being healthy and our defense getting better. The question I have, what about, I'm not a Cowboy fan at all, so with them cutting Dez Bryant, do you think if he does not perform up to expectations in the next couple of years, he may be considered a bust?
I don't think he'll be a bust. Off the top of my head, I have a hard time accepting that. I think he's already had a lot of success in the NFL in Dallas. Now, some people would say he hasn't because he doesn't have rings, but I think he performed at a high level, and I think, you know, now it's pretty obvious to me that he became less of a feature in Dallas, and his numbers dropped exponentially, and his performance thus was deemed terrible, and they finally got rid of him. That's all there is to it. If he doesn't, you know, if they don't put up the numbers, these players, they go from the penthouse to the outhouse very quickly. And I think that's what happened to him. Eventually, he just said, we're paying this guy all this money, and he's not putting up numbers, so we're done. That was it. They it's no mercy. The NFL, no mercy. They'll get rid of whoever. It doesn't matter who you are. You think you're great until they cut you. It's like that Brandon Marshall guy talking, opening his mouth about Dez Bryant, and then a day later he gets cut because he didn't matter anyway. He just thinks he matters. That guy's ego is as big as New York, and he thinks he's the greatest player ever. He is the greatest player that never did anything. Brandon Marshall's the greatest player that never did anything. At least Dez Bryant, I thought, was pretty much a rock star at the beginning of his career. So I thought he put up some big seasons. And, you know, bottom line is Brandon Marshall did some things too, but he never won playoff games. So it is what it is. What else, Gerald?
The thing is this. Dez Bryant is known for one thing. The NFL changed the rule on the catch. Remember, the ground at one time couldn't cause a fumble.
Right.
They changed it to where you had to follow through. But now they went back to saying that if you catch it or you take a step or whatever, he is known for making them change that rule.
Well, I mean, I'll give you that, and I'll say this. To the day I die, he caught that ball that day. I thought he caught it. I never have wavered. I just remember I covered that bet that day. The Cowboys played great in Lambeau, and it was a great cover. I'll never forget, I was in the hospital with my dad. He was in ICU in Pittsburgh, and I was back in Pittsburgh, and I was watching that game in his room, and he was like, had tubes shoved down his mouth. And I'm sitting in there screaming and yelling. He was on all kinds of machines and drugs. He didn't know I was even there, and I'm sitting in the room screaming and yelling, and people are wondering, what's wrong with that guy in there? And it was because I had a boatload of cash on the Cowboys that day. And that's all I remember. Yeah, he caught that ball. That's all there is to it, is what I say. I loved see, he was great then. I thought he was a really good player. And now he's not. And I think, you know, time catches up with everybody. Always good to hear from you, Gerald, my friend.
Except he didn't change that rule because what was that, 3 years ago, that catch? They didn't change it until this offseason. If you're going to give someone credit, then it's, you know, Jesse James with the catch against New England.
But they always refer to Dez Bryant.
Right,
but now they add Jesse James to it. But that game, the Jesse James catch wasn't as significant as the Dez Bryant catch. That was a playoff game.
It wasn't as significant, but that catch was 3 years ago. They didn't change it after that game. They didn't change it until 3 years later.
I agree with you, but they don't. They still, to this day, when they talk about the catch rule, they bring up Dez Bryant. It's automatic.
Right, they talked about Megatron when they changed it last time, but it was years after he made that catch. So.
All right, so I've run out of time. You've ruined it for me. Do you think DiVincenzo will make it in the NBA, or should he go back to Villanova?
I think he should go play another year in college.
Doughty, Hedman, and Subban are the Norris finalists. Who do you give it to? Hurry
Hedman.
Up. I don't have time. Hornqvist out for the Penguins, game five. Multi-point games in Stanley Cup playoffs, Penguin history, Sid Crosby now, 59, the king of the Penguins. And Brodeur, it was April 19th. That was it, 2012, when he became the all-time career shutout guy in the NHL, passing Patrick Waugh. I'll save the story for tomorrow, Mafia, about how the UFC has bowed to Conor McGregor after the Brooklyn Brawl. He gets his own way. If it was anyone else, they would have been thrown out of the UFC. Here's a good story. Americans can't get through the day without cursing. I love Mother Pharrell and cursing. Anyway, Mad Hatter, good to have you in here tonight. Mafia as well. See you tomorrow night at 10. Get the I Am Scott Pharrell app in the App Store. Free. Good night, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.